I'm preaching on God wanting children to honor their mother and father. And that's what we get in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and Colossians 3, 20. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, that's going to be the passage we've been working through Ephesians. And it says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then Colossians says, Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, over the last weeks, I've been preaching on how wives need to respect their husbands, and then on how husbands need to love their wives. And now, this is to sons and daughters in two things: obeying parents, and more broadly, honoring your parents. So prepare your heart for this sermon. God wants me to honor my parents. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would guide me to preach accurately and that we would be learning from you, Father, our Father in heaven. All fathers are patterned after you, but we're not perfect like you are, and we thank you for making us. But we're asking that you would teach us from your word, that we would learn what we need to, and that we'd actually practice it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God tells you not to do wrong things, and he tells you to do right things. And God is the one who explains what right and wrong is. Sometimes we think we're the ones that come up with it, but God really is the decider of what's right and wrong. And the Holy Spirit is clear by saying this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, as a child, obeying your parents may not seem right to you. At least, it might seem right sometimes, but maybe not all the time. And it may not be well-pleasing to your own self, but God, who created you, created all of us, says obeying your parents is right and it's pleasing to him. And then there's honor. We get honor in these passages. And what's going on here is that God wants sons and daughters to honor parents. But if, instead of saying to honor them for the Lord's benefit, which is for the Lord's benefit, by the way, and for the benefit of your parents, but instead of saying that, honoring your parents also benefits you. And it says this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. There's a promise. And the promise is this: so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So honoring your parents is important. And it starts with thinking that your parents are important. Now, this is how God wants you to be smart. This way is how God wants you to be smart. And when you are smart, you do smart things. And one is treating your parents like they are very important people. And this way, which is God's way, is how you honor them. God wants you to add in Philippians 2:3 to the honor. It's God's word, Philippians 2:3, to honor your parents. And it's thinking of your parents as being better than you are, as more important than yourself. And God says that you're responsible to go this smart way. So you need to ask yourself, am I pleasing God by honoring my parents like they are better than me? Do I treat them that way? Because this is God's word. And always remind yourself, God says this is what I need to do. And so when your parents talk to you, do you tune in? Do you listen? When they tell you to do something, do you act like you heard it? Treating your parents like God says, like they are more important than your own self, means that you show it by listening to what they say. Doesn't mean that you must think that everything they say is right. That's not what this is about. It does not mean that they must do everything right. It means listen to respect them and honor for who they are. It means being grateful, thankful, and thank God that they are your parents and that God decided that you're going to have them as the ones that are your parents. And so thank your parents for what they do. There's thanks. Why? Because they're your parents. And see, God knows they make mistakes, like you make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. Don't you make mistakes? I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But God says, honor them. This pleases the Lord. Now, the Bible verses that we're learning from have been going from teaching wives to husbands. And something that I want us to notice is that Paul addresses children like he's speaking directly to them in these passages. This is very interesting. At 6:1, Paul said straight out, children. And then he taught like children are listening. In Colossians 3:20, he did the same thing. And so Paul did not act like children should only be instructed in these things by the parents. He wrote it like children are going to hear the instructions that they're taught directly to the children in the Ephesian church when the epistle, this letter, these scriptures that I'm reading right now, these same scriptures were being read to everyone. And so Paul expected children to be among the adults receiving the same instruction that the adults were receiving. And this is because the original church meetings had everyone together. You know, there was no separate Sunday school section for children. The apostles did not plant churches with a separate children's church. There was no special caretaker who oversaw children over in another place. Everyone fellowshiped together in much the same way that you see people fellowshipping together, like at family gatherings, you know, group events, or parties, holidays. Same type of thing. And if a child was unruly, like a crying infant, the baby would be tended to in the natural way that babies are tended to. There's natural ways to do this. And the church was that way. If the child needed to be moved out of the immediate area to take care of a problem, well, the parent would just naturally do that. If children got unruly, they'd be dealt with in a disciplinary manner. This was the common way for 1,800 years since emerged Christianity. The early church is the emerged church. Now, Sunday school began in England in the late 1700s, and it started as an education program to teach poor factory workers on their one day off, which was Sunday. And then later, it began being adopted into the church meeting time because it was on Sunday. And then this idea spread from England to the United States. And by the late 1800s, more churches started using Sunday school. And as the 1900s unfolded, Sunday school became an evangelism and church growth method. Yeah, in 1902, the president of a large theological seminary said this: "Sunday school is the chief and almost only hope for church growth." And so churches eager to grow, they pursued and they promoted it. And now it exists with some people thinking it's what God wants for everybody. Sunday school has been used for a lot of good. Sunday school has been used for many, many good things. But there are some problems with it. And one is that parents do not know what shades of details are being taught to their children in the so-called school. But also, the responsibility of the mother and the father gets diminished by the whole pattern. Now, a similar development blooming in more recent history is the concept of youth church. Now, youth church is really Sunday school with a more kind of a classic church feel. And these things entered in over the last decades as if it's normal for families to willingly allow their children to be separated from them, to be taught and then be disciplined in another place under someone else's supervision, under their ideas and under their approaches. And so, like what happens with a lot of cemented human traditions, because Sunday school and youth church are human traditions, anyone who thinks differently about youth church or Sunday school is considered to be strange or abnormal. But actually, the scrutinizers of Sunday school and youth church, who are being scrutinized like they're somehow radical or unreasonable, are very in line with the Bible culture, the culture of Christianity as we have it laid out for us. Now, regardless of what one thinks about Sunday school or youth church, the original way had a higher emphasis on parents and their leadership roles concerning their children. And that's my big point in laying all this out. See, that original way also had children hearing the actual pastor, like we have happening this morning. And if the children didn't understand something thoroughly from the church pastor, because not everything's understandable, but a lot of it is, and if they didn't understand everything, it's the responsibility of the parents to make sure the child understood by continuing to teach the child the precepts of the Lord. The parent could also do something like bring the child to the pastor if needed so that the pastor can explain things more thoroughly. I can do that with young people. And so the context of Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 and the one in Colossians has important implications for a number of reasons. Paul addressed everyone together in the family unit. And then directly he addressed children as if they were expected to understand and do exactly what he wrote. And the teaching goes straight to children. And listen to it. It's very simple. Obey and honor your parents. And so the layout shows something else. The Bible shows that children are expected to learn to learn. Learning to learn is an important foundation for acquiring information. It even involves learning to learn to be attentive when you don't want to be. Learning to learn means that you must learn to see a need to be learning, especially when it's required for you to learn something. And so By addressing children straight on, Paul showed that when it comes to linear kind of teaching, which is what Ephesians is, it's just one line and another point and another thing that you're learning. He expected children to have learned to be able to learn that particular way. And so Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 13, he said, prescribe and teach these things. And Paul is talking about everything that he wrote. And then he said this. Now listen, he said, let no one look down on your youthfulness, on you being young. He said, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. And so what we see is God's template. Paul reminded young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 16, that from childhood, you understand what he's saying? He's telling, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That right there is a guiding direction. So starting from childhood, learn the sacred writings themselves. That's the Bible, like the scriptures I'm preaching from right now. They give saving wisdom to children. All scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching children, for reproving children, for correcting children, and for training children in righteousness. That's how you apply this passage. This is why we're looking at God's word, because God's talking to us. And the things that are written sometimes are very serious and they're very complex. So it's tempting to think that children are not able to learn from it. But the same scriptures demonstrate that children are expected to be able to learn, and they can learn what they can. You follow what I'm saying? To grow into the ability to understand more, which is why Paul addressed children directly in this teaching. Okay, so this is the thing. If you're a parent, nurture your child to grow into the ability to understand, especially godly things. And if you're a child, you might think that a lot of this stuff is hard to understand, but keep going at it. Keep trying to learn. Keep trying to learn to learn. And you will learn things. You'll learn what you need to know. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to always be able to understand the important things. You'll be able to understand something, and it'll be important. And God tells you that all scripture is profitable for you. Okay? Profitable means it benefits you. It's good for you. Meaning what you understand helps you in life. And so this gets me to something that Paul understood that children would understand. Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord is very important. By telling you to do it in the Lord, to obey your parents in the Lord, you know Paul's talking to people that are Christians. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's telling Christians what to do. Non-Christians are not in the Lord. And so you also know that God's talking to you as a Christian child about having a proper response to your parents' authority by understanding it to be in your Lord. So what this means is that the Lord wants you to obey your parents because you obey Him telling you to do it. This is why we do it. Follow what I'm saying. The Lord wants you to obey your parents because you obey Him telling you to do it. Your Lord is also talking to your parents, and so He has guides for everyone on this. So when it comes to your part, to obedience, obey your parents and the Lord in respect to anything that's not telling you to sin. You know, the only time that you can disobey is if a parent tells you not to obey God. See, you do not have to obey anyone who's telling you to sin. So get this right. If a parent tells you not to do what God says to do in His Word, or tells you to partake in some sort of sinful act, and you understand what that is from the Bible, then you should know that God wants to be obeyed over any ungodly direction. It is the way He has laid it out. But nevertheless, God expects Christian parents to do godly things, and God expects you to obey them in every other thing that is not sin. So remember Colossians 3:20. It says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so you're told to obey in all things. So obey and do all things that are not sin. Doing so in the Lord is pleasing to the Lord. And obeying your parents to please the Lord Himself is so important because your parents are not perfect, right? All of us know. And children get attitudes. So you know there are times that you get bad attitudes. You might get angry with your parents. It's easy to get angry with parents. So to bypass trying to make excuses to disobey your parents based on something about them that you're angry about or how you feel, your job given to you by God is to obey in the Lord for the Lord himself. That's always going to be your guiding standard. This honors him while honoring your parents. And when you do this, good things from God are coming to you. As you honor your parents, you do get benefits. God says it is well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's huge. It's well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, when you look at the old Mosaic law, honoring parents is recorded as a commandment, which actually describes this good result for those who do it. Now, when it came to the commandment in that covenant, the blessing part, it is well with you and you may live long on the earth, that was a promise that was described to happen for those who do it. Now, Paul, who explains over and over again that we're not under the old covenant Mosaic law as a covenant, we are new covenant believers, we're not under that anymore, he points out that the promise part of obeying parents is a principle. Not because it's found in the old law of Moses, but because it's a principle beyond the law of Moses. And so he's using this as an analogy. And so it shows us a lot of things. What it does show us is it helps us clarify the age of who's being talked to. It's more than infants and small children obeying and honoring. It's about sons and daughters living long on the earth. And living long as in being older describes all ages. So now, a son or daughter living in the household of the father and the mother, they must honor and obey their parents while they are there. And when they leave, like getting married and starting their own household, the obedience is replaced with honor. And so the honor for their parents keeps on going and going and going. And so what God wants is he wants you to always honor your parents, even if you're 90 years old and your parent happens to be 110. So referring to the blessing expectation as an illustration of the abiding principle, Paul shows that honoring parents is for all ages and all stages throughout their whole lives. And in his pre-cross ministry, Jesus confronted a sinful Jewish teaching that had developed. And basically what was happening is that there were some sinful adults that were trying to find a way to quit honoring their parents. And at the time, they were under the Mosaic law. And those sinful people were actually keepers of the law, called Pharisees. And in Matthew 15:3-9, Jesus got angry at them. He rebuked them and he said this: "Why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? God said, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, so that he does not need to honor his father and mother." Jesus is still talking. "By doing this, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." And then Jesus said this: "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Well, those selfish guys had become so sinful that they were rejecting God's word. And by connection, they rejected the basic love and honor of helping their moms and dads with the help that they needed. If parents would come to the adult son for help, they needed help, the Pharisee would claim that they were justified to get out of honoring them by giving the excuse that, well, you know, I gave all my money to God. I gave it to God. But the true root in their heart was pure selfishness and greed. They were just using an excuse. It was an underhanded way to dishonor parents. But God wants adults, adult men, adult women, to make sure they honor their parents. And when it comes to obeying parents while in their household, it doesn't matter if you're no longer what you consider to be a child. While there, you need to honor them in the obedience way. And when you move out and you get married, the same thing's going to be expected for your own children. So think about that. It's so important for adults to honor their parents. It needs to be a understanding and thinking in all of us as Christians in the Christ culture. And in 2 Timothy 3:2, reading in 2 Timothy again, Paul spoke concerning adults in the last time, adult men. He used a Greek word for adults. He said this: "Men," that's andropoi in the Greek, meaning real men, older men. He said, "Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents." Disobedient to parents. But the adult term is also a generic term used to apply to both men and women. So disobedience to parents is a sinful trait that ungodly adults of the last times will be known for. Romans 1, 28-30 says this. It describes people that were given over to a depraved mind. And it says this, they are unrighteous, wicked, greedy, evil, murderous, deceitful, gossips, arrogant, and also disobedient to parents. So the obedience age issue is very clear. But we also have more to inform us on this whole honor issue. In 1 Timothy, Paul said that if a widow has children or grandchildren, those children must practice a good godly way and make some return to their parents. That if a man does not provide for his own widowed mother or grandmother, then he's worse than an unbeliever. See, that adult man, adult woman dishonors the parents, dishonors the grandparents. And when it came to Jesus in his pre-cross days, when he was being raised by Joseph and Mary, Luke 2:52 says this, he continued in subjection to them. And Jesus is the example. He did that with his parents, his earthly parents. It's the example that we need to have. But we live in an age, we live in a culture where honoring parents at any age is becoming something that is often ridiculed, it's ignored, it's thought of as being less than it actually is. But here's the thing, it's more than a small issue. The wrong heart and the wrong thinking spreads into so many areas. It goes into dishonoring parenthood itself. Parenthood is being attacked on many fronts. And one attack is to think that having children is something that is a second-rate goal or it's somehow a lesser life. Having children is being despised by large numbers of people who see children as actually as a curse instead of the blessing that God says that they really are. And parenthood itself is being seen as a curse rather than a blessing. But parenthood is a high honor in God's design for humanity. It's a privilege for Christians to be blessed with the opportunity to raise children in the Lord. Now, another way that parents are being dishonored is in the way that liberal legislators keep trying to push for equality in the family, where children are declared to have the right to ignore parents' authority. Children are even being urged to sue parents in civil suits now. And schools and government agencies are secretly counseling, they're segregating children from the will of their parents, coddling them in ungodly, weird philosophies. They're being encouraged by government school counselors and others who undermine parental authority, parental honor that God has ordained, they are saying to become sexually active or delusional about their gender. Parents may disapprove, but huge segments of our culture just don't care. The parent is being dishonored, treated like an enemy, treating like a criminal, the child is being treated like a victim. Now, if the child gets pregnant, which is called a mistake and a nuisance, but that's not a mistake or a nuisance, but that's what's called, the same people encourage the child, who is now a parent herself, to kill the baby by abortion. And if the child takes the gender delusion seriously and decides that they can live a lie and change it to a gender that they're not genetically existing as, the same people encourage the child to get mutilated to resemble something they're not. It's dishonoring parents. It's dishonoring parenthood. It's dishonoring children. And if the parent disagrees, the culture seeks to dishonor the parent by helping the child do all those things against the wishes of the parents. You know, I read an article recently about a phenomenon that's growing. There is an increase in sons and daughters assaulting parents now, physical assault. And get this, special divisions are being formed in cities all over the country to deal with one thing only, and here's what it's called. This is the actual term, child-on-parent violence. And law enforcement officials say that only a small segment of child-on-parent violence gets reported. And then the article declared that experts say there's no single answer to why children hurt or kill their parents. But the real expert gives us the answer, and it's the sin from the fallen nature. Violence against parents is the sin of dishonor that's stacked on multitudes of other manifestations of sin that permeate humanity. Sin is manifested when parents are talked back to as if they are a peer, like a neighborhood friend or a schoolmate, while they're being expected to serve the child by paying the bills, feeding the mouth, providing a bed, you know. Parents are treated like hotel employees. And what this is, it's a symptom of dishonor. Any tendency to disregard parental rules shows dishonor. But remember the root. It's based in rebellion against God and His will. Always know that. They're all manifestations of sin. And sin means to miss the mark of God's standard of what is right and what's wrong. So for us, for children to fight for the Lord, all of us, any of us, because we all have parents, your call is to recognize that God demands honor. And as a child in the household, he wants obedience in respect to parents, and in that way you honor them. And so your call is to treat your parents like they're better than yourself. And if you're a parent, your call is to teach it to your children. And I urge you to walk with God in our generation then of honoring parents. Maybe you harbor bitterness toward your parents. You're angry at them. Don't like some things about them. Have your past experiences coaxed you into building walls of separation from your parents where you're not honoring them the way that God wants you to? Start breaking down the walls right now. How do you do that? Pray to God. Be honest with him. Confess your heart to him. Tell him what you've been thinking like, what you've been acting like. And then you do this. Start thinking of your parents as being better than yourself. See? It means you're going to have to step down from the throne that you built above your parents. You need to step down, but below them. Quit trying to treat them like the same level thinking. That's just not the way it is. God defines where they are. Revere your parents as being what he says, which is higher than your peers, your neighborhood friends, buddies at school or on the playground or wherever. If you're having a difficulty with this, anything that I'm saying and preaching this morning is from God's word, then you need to pray to God about it. Talk to him. Confess your sin of not honoring your parents. If you harbor bitterness toward your parents, anger, ask God to help you forgive them so that you can move on and healing can occur in your life and in their life and things can get better. Prayerfully ask God what else you can do to show honor for your parents. There's all kinds of things you can do to show honor for your parents. Are you doing them? Ask him. Say, God, what can I do? You know, be part of taking up the charge to be a bad pattern breaker, crushing the godless patterns being laid down by this God-mocking world. This world that just makes fun of God all the time and Christians. So do it by acting like you're a family builder, doing his work. That's it. Let's all honor God in honoring our end of what it means to be godly in respect to our parents and toward parenthood in general. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Amen?